Ooh, fucking shit.
Oh, he's still
he killed the bottle. Yo.
It's like, bro, I'm fucking retarded, dog. Like, keep the stagger. I'm dumb.
What a cunt. The fuck are you doing, man? Like,
and that was Lay Witcher by Isaiah Rashad off his new latest album, This House is Burning. And I just want to say, what's Cuddy family? Welcome back to another installment of Tony's House Podcast. My name is Tony, and of course.
Wait.
You came to hear me talk. Yes. Another week, another installment of Favorite Podcast, maybe. I don't know, but we shall see. Of course, you know, we are here for the long run. We're here for a good time, not a long time. You know, I'm way A up. I feel blessed. You know, back at it again. Another week. So, you know, we had to do it right. We had to get it tight for another installment of the Tony Toss Podcast. This time, we are live at the LMG Studios, but once again, we have gone global, ladies and gentlemen. We are now reporting to you live from the LMG makeshift studio in Ibiza, Spain, off the islands near Spain. We are here in the Mediterranean, you know, surrounded by sea, sand, and overall sunshine and good vibes. And of course, you know, the amenities are always provided by the man, the myth, the legend. He is the man with the power, the man of the hour. He is the hit maker, record breaker, sports deluxe dealer, the one to single-handedly give Mike Tyson a tingle down his goddamn spine the way he looking like he about to fuck him. Give it up for the one and only Adam and Genius, bitch.
What an intro.
Exactly, bro. Tell me, bro, fuck around and find out that G's the next one to fight Mike Tyson in these celebrity boxing matches, bro. Fuck around and find out. But yes, we are live coming at you at Ibiza so far. We looking good right now. We off a nice little, you know, I guess a nice little island hut, you can say. We got the views on the left of us. We got the seas all around us. We got boats passing by us all the time. Like in Step Brothers.
Nice breeze right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Like in Step Brothers, bro, we got the boats and the hoes. Boats and hoes. Gotta have me my boats and hoes. Exactly. But no, thank you for joining me once again. Back at it again here at the LMG studio, whether it be Ibiza, LA, London, Milan. It don't matter. At the end of the day, if it ain't on the motherfucking T, it ain't Element G. You feel me? So we here and we're running it up again. But you know, we about to start it real quick with a little bit of a story time. Didn't mean to hit the crickets right there.
Well, there's a couple crickets out here.
Right? Couple crickets. You know, a couple of them island bugs. But at the end of the fucking day, you already know we out here mixing the Malibu with the coconut fresh off the motherfucking tree. Like, we cut the top of that bitch and put the Malibu shake the fuck up and forget about it. It's cocked out and then knock your fucking socks off. You did.
Con el hielito
frito. Say less, no pasa nada, mijo. Anyways, so real quick with a story time because G, the Koch boy. Koch boy on the candid camera. Your boy got. So yesterday I had a productive ass day at work before I decided to fly to Ibiza. You know, I was like, you know what, if I'm gonna fly to Ibiza,
trying to make that flight.
Yeah, let me exactly, I'm gonna make that flight. So I'm gonna get everything, you know, good and ready. So I had a productive ass day. Woke up early, got all my shit done before I can head on the plane to Ibiza to clear my mind. You feel me? So I was like, alright, everything's Gucci gravy and everything like that. So I get to the crib, about to pack up my shit. Next, you know, I get I get hit up talking about, yo, you got a piece of mail for you. And I was like, oh shit, what is it? And I saw from the address, it was the Los Angeles Department of Transportation Authority. And I was like, oh Jesus. I was like
fuck me in the ass with a spike rod.
I can only assume it is one out of the two things. Either they gave me a lifetime supply of free tap cards, or your boy got that citation. And unfortunately, Your boy got the motherfucking citation in this bitch. They caught your boy in 4K. I got the pics to prove I look cute as fucking him, and that's why they hating. But yes, unfortunately, your boy got caught with one of the little cameras busting.
Tokyo drifting.
According, Tokyo drifting on the motherfucker? Nah, but according to them, according to the citation, it was a motherfucking crossing of a red light. Even though you were 100% right, G. You know what the fuck I was trying to do? Because it happened. It happened so sporadically, I almost forgot about that shit. But I was like, you know what? I was in a rush. I missed my exit for the freeway. So I'm like, fuck. The only way I can get back in the freeway, I got to bust a little bit of that. A little bit of that. Give it a fucking play. Thanks, Spotify, for being a piece of shit. Oh, wait. Are you going to work? You know what? I don't even want to do the joke anymore, man. Fucking Spotify, valiendo pura verga on this bitch. The minute I need this shit to fucking work, I hate Spotify, bro. I take that back. I love Spotify because I use it all the time, but I hate certain features of Spotify. I don't know if it's my phone or anything, but I hate a song and it takes like 5 minutes to fucking play, bro. It's like, come on, Spotify, get on the fucking ones and twos. The reason I ain't fuck with Apple Music is because I'm down for you, Spotify. So be down for me and fucking work, you dumb fuck. But yes, unfortunately, your boy did the old fucking. Tokyo drifting that bitch. So I decided to bust a quick U-turn on that motherfucker to just get back on the freeway and whatnot. But unfortunately, they caught your boy on the candid camera. I have yet to receive my follow-up letters letting me know how much I owe, but I think I owe about a bill. So, you know, it ain't nothing, no skin on my ass. But at the end of the fucking day, you know, I could use that 100 for something a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, your boy got caught. But, you know, shit was crazy. Also, it was mad frustrating, bro, because I'm out here trying to, like, read the ticket. And mom's like, let me see the picture. I'm like, mom, let me, like, I was like, bro, like, chill. I literally told my mom to chill. I was like, can I read my citation? I know you want to see pictures of your son right now on a camera, but it's like right now, I need to see.
Para el face.
Para el face, para el WhatsApp, para los compas over there in fucking Jalisco. But at the end of the fucking day, I need to read this citation, know exactly what the fuck I did wrong, bro. So yeah, so unfortunately they caught your man on the candy camera. So we gonna wait and follow up to see what the fuck the Compton courthouse, because it was the Compton courthouse that got me. You know, I was like, God damn, bro, that shit was crazy. Like straight up, I wasn't ready for that. Cause honestly, when the whole thing happened, bro, I was like, are you serious right now? Like first of all, it happened when there was like no cars coming, no hazard. I remember when it happened. I was like, nothing happened. But then I was like, yo, straight up, the ticket was like, hey, where we from, bro? Where we from?
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Straight out of fucking Compton, this ticket comes from the Compton courthouse, from the Compton Sheriff Department. We straight out of Compton. Crazy motherfucking name, T-Lo.
Did you see the flash?
What flash? No, there was no flash! There was no flash. It was just a camera that was posted, fam.
They be sneaky with that shit.
They be sneaky. Bro, I'm going to tell you right now, bro, and this is a Tony Talks official statement. You can quote me on this, bro. Any types of cameras or whatevers that are photographer you for the fucking, like, lights are borderline, like dystopian 1984 type shit, bro. It's like, you really out here posting cameras so you can just catch people doing some shit? Like, it could be a motherfucker just catching the last left on the yellow and then, nah, because we caught you on camera, you gotta pay. It's like, bro, you out here living in an environment where people are already struggling to make ends meet, and then you making it even more difficult for them like that, bro? It's like, bro, do you really need to fucking feed your quota that much that you gotta fuck over innocent people that are making maneuvers that, in your eyes, aren't legal? Legal, but they're hurt. Who are they hurting? Who are they hurting, bro? Who was I hurting? No, there was nobody on the road. Not a single soul. I did not kill. I did not put nobody in jeopardy. Nobody in danger. Who did I hurt? Nobody. But apparently, Compton Sheriff's Department, the Compton Courthouse, feels like I owe them money because apparently I did something that they did not like. And that's why I don't like these cameras, bro. Like, yo, vote for your boy Governor 2030. In this bitch, you know, I'll make it illegal for any police department in any area of California to have these cameras, because it's unnecessary, bro. It's unnecessary for you to find another reason to keep pinching at these people's pockets, bro. It's like, Like that's how, and that's how lazy you are too. Like, y'all can't be doing your own job to be posted for actual, like, motherfuckers that are driving recklessly and doing, like, bad shit. You're out here punishing somebody that decided to take a last minute left turn, bro. Really? It's like, what the fuck's wrong with you, dog? Like, what? You got nothing going on in your life that you were like, you know what? You see the motherfucker here trying to make that last left? Let's over here and fucking annihilate their cheeks and hit them with a nice little fine right quick. It's like, bro, you making their whole lives unnecessarily complicated, my boy. Have you ever been a part of this stuff, G? Have you been caught in the candy camera?
I got caught once.
Oh, story.
It was the same thing. I was actually trying to make a left, I believe. Like, going down, like, we're heading down, you know, Fox Hills back home.
Oh, yeah.
So I was heading down to Fox Hills, and then there's that camera that's right there on fuck, what's that street? It's that hill before you go down into the mall.
I think what we're talking about
right before the 90.
Mm-hmm.
Is that hill by the
cemetery? I think you got the wrong freeway, bro.
That wasn't in the freeway.
Slauson. Wait. I know what 90 you're talking about. Never mind. I fucked up. I was like, bro, there's no 90 by Slauson, but you're right. That goes to Marina Del Rey.
Yeah, that one. So, like, yeah. That hill that's before that shit. And then there's cameras there. And I got caught there. I think I was trying to make a left or something.
What was the damage? How much you owed, fam?
I mean, it wasn't that much. Probably around the same, like, almost like 80 or something like that. I don't remember, but this was like a couple years ago.
But either way, though, that's ludicrous, man. At the end of the day, like, you don't need to be out here trying to penalize people for this mundane shit, bro. It's like, you out here supposed to be, you know, serving the public, and you're not really serving the public. The only thing you're serving them up is a hot, fresh plate of motherfucking fines. And frankly, we not with that, my boy. You can need to get your shit together and actually stop the real criminals. Leave it to the fucking police to be out here getting people for minimal, non-threatening, non-victim-having fucking crimes. But at the same fucking time, when there's stuff like robbery, murder, rape, and everything, like, they're just like, they take their sweet-ass time and just like, oh, it's whatevers. We need to make sure that everybody, there's proper witness statements, witness testimonies. If not, this might not hold up in court and yada, yada, yada. But you make one left move and you're like, hey, fucker, yo, it's 100. You're going to go to jail. These fucking backwards, mad cunts. But you know what? I'm gonna just leave it at that. I'll pay my little debt to the Compton Sheriff's Department, the Compton Courthouse, because Lord knows they fucking need them. And so they'll be able to get my little chunk of change. But this is not over, man. I'm gonna tell you right now, Governor 2030 in this bitch, we're gonna make sure we shut off all the cameras for any department or any area in California, because you know why? We don't need these people being subject to more fucking tickets and unwanted fines that are gonna just fuck over their pockets, bro. Like, you fuck me over my pockets, bro. I'm a man who likes to have his financial affairs in order, and if you're fucking me over with that, fam, we got a problem. We got a motherfucking problem. And Compton Sheriff Department and Compton Courthouse, we got a motherfucking problem. But you know what? We gonna try to resolve this peacefully without no violence and whatnot, and not elongating the situation, because at the end of the fucking day, we're trying to get behind this shit. But you know what? I'm just saying, sometimes you might catch the right motherfucker at the right time, and you won't be able to get away with this in the meantime. But you know what? Fuck it. I look cute as fuck in my photo. And the motherfucker that took the photo was ugly as fuck. That's why he fucking hating. He's like, you know what? Let me give this cute-ass little Mexican a fucking ticket so that way I can feel better about myself. You mad backwards cunts. But anyways, that was what? Story time, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? We about to move forward to the next installment of the motherfucking thing. You know what? We're over here talking about some L's. Let's talk about another continuous L going on right now in society, and that is the man Drake taking quite the L with Certified Lover Boy, or as I like to call it, Certified Midi. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is TTT, Tony Talks Tunes. We're out here reviewing Certified Lover Boy by Drake that had dropped the last weekend that just passed. You're hearing this, of course. If you're hearing this right now, of course, you probably heard it or heard little snippets or heard tracks on the radio or wherever. And, of course, we're here to talk about the album, the outcome, and everything like that. Excuse me, recording in process. Thank you. Thank you. Certified Lover Boy. Certified made in my opinion. G, have you heard any tracks? I mean, because listen, I know you're not on the rapper wave, but I mean, you listen to, you know, top 40 radio. I'm sure a Drake, a song from Certified Lover Boy has made it into your earworms. Has it not?
Yeah, I mean, I've checked out people's stories and I check out the ones that they've been putting up, like the, checked out probably like the three main songs.
Which are? Give me the ones you listen to, because listen, I'm going to tell you right now, they try to be on the same Don divide, being an hour and some change, but I'm going to keep it a stack. How many tracks I remember? Like maybe one or two, fam.
So Papi's Home, Girls Want Girls, and Champagne. Basically the first three is the ones that,
yeah, I remember. Champagne Poetry was the first one I heard because that was the opening track. Not too bad. For me, it's Champagne Poetry and I Miss You Too by with Kid Cudi. But you know what? Those two tracks are the only ones that to me stand out. But even then, they're not even like fantastic. Those are just the ones that stand out. Because, yes, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Talks is here to tell you right now that the reason why I say Drake's Certified Lover Boy, Certified Mid, is because the album overall suffers from the same thing that every Drake album suffers from. And that's the fact that it does not want to evolve like Pikachu and Pokemon, fam. It just does not want to evolve. Drake does not want to evolve. His sound does not want to evolve. Like think about it. You had a whole album filled with a gang of features, and the features put in more work than your performance. In your own album, bro. Because in my opinion, bro, Drake right now came through with their standard run-of-the-mill Drake flow, you know, not really doing much, not really, you know, bringing much to the table. The features, on the other hand, did their part, so... You know, they at least put in an effort to try to make it sound unique, trying to make it sound different. So at the end of the day, it's like, why couldn't you compete with that same level in terms of bringing the final product, something that's exciting, something that people want to see? Because I'm going to keep it a stack. When I first heard the news of Certified Lover Boy, the reality of it was I really wanted to keep the same vibes of Scary Hours 2. Because Scary Hours 2 was like a 3-track EP, but to me was not bad because, you know, it had two features, Lil Baby and Rick Ross, but the features on there and the performances they give on their specific tracks really gave Drake a motive to, like, bring his A game. And I feel like that's the best thing to do when being featured on a song, is go so hard that the person who originally is the song's about has no other choice but to, like, go stupid hard. You know, he did that on Wants and Needs and Lemon Pepper Freestyle, you know, so I think to myself, like, if he can keep the same energy and the same formula going forward, I feel like maybe we might get a more energetic, a more, you know, rejuvenated Drake vibe, something that, you know, we might not have seen or have been ready for. But instead, he decides to kind of go back to his Scorpion formula of just doing the Drake, the Drake method, Drake flow, minimal beat. And if there's a minimal beat, you know that the lyrics have to kind of like hold the weight. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's the same Drake lyrics, bro. It's like stuff that you're going to write in your IG caption and that's it. Mm-hmm. Nothing really in terms of like really deep integrating bars, in my opinion. Like I think to myself, like Drake, like you had us waiting how long for this album? Almost the same time as Donda. You've been having like a year and some change. You've been drawing those little fucking ball sacks for a heart you call on your fucking head. You didn't drop a single teaser, a single, you know, nothing. You went in this shit like completely fucking just as a ghost and as an enigma as possible. So when you did drop, to me, if you're going to be that secretive about your album, bro, you got to come with some heat. And the minute I heard it all the way through, and this is me putting my Donda dick riding aside, bro, because I love Donda, but Donda dick riding aside, bro, I went into this album wanting Drake to come out with a banger. Because I'm like, bro, if Kanye can come out with a banger and having his wait this long, if Drake follows the same formula, maybe, just maybe, he could follow the same formula and bring forth a, not necessarily a new style, but something that's new to Drake. And unfortunately, he didn't. That's why you have an hour long song, like an hour long and some change project, and ultimately people can only remember like 2-3 tracks off the whole thing. What does that tell you about the quality of your album? Because for Donda, pick and choose, bro. You have Jail, Off the Grid, Junior, God Breathe, you know, fuck all this shit, bro. Like everything. So it's like, that competition you had with Kanye should have fueled your creative endeavors to really go above and beyond what people expect from you. But you're ultimately giving us the Drake cookie cutter formula. And to me, that's boring at this point, bro. It's reality. It's boring. You got to switch it up. Even if it sounds like ass, because you know what? If Certified Lover Boy was something completely different from the usual Drake formula and it sounded like ass, at least I gave it credit for it trying to take chance. Because listen, you could say Donda wasn't the best album, but compared to his last album, Jesus King, and then Ye, Life of Pablo, it's different. So even if you don't like it, you could at least applaud Kanye for being different. Drake here plays it safe and give us the same shit we got in Scorpion, in, you know, Views from the Six, in all that other stuff, bro. It's like, I don't understand why Drake, being the biggest artist of all time, having all this money, all these resources to do amazing, great things, continues to give out time and time again the same mediocre, amateur-ass sound that we're all used to, bro. It's like, come on, Dre. You can't just, you know, take a cup of coffee, maybe bring up the energy a bit much. It's just all the same thing. Like, at a certain point, I'm just like, am I hearing the same song? Or is it still the same song, or is it a different song?
Yeah, you know? Even like the flow. Like, I did listen to the whole album. I did listen to it. But there's like the top three that I keep replaying just because those are like the most played ones. And that's the ones that I've been listening to. But other than that, I mean, I'm not like the most qualified person to be even like reviewing this album. But just based on my own taste, is the ones that that stand out. But like you said, like there's not other tracks that are that memorable.
I mean, have you been someone that has like, you know, following Drake? Do you like Drake? What's your opinion on him?
I mean, when he barely came out, yeah, like I was following his music. It was dope, you know, hit after hit. But then eventually, like you said, like he just started sounding like very generic. Everything sounded the same. And even in this one, you kind of get the same flows that he always has in, you know, in past songs. But again, like, I'm not no qualified, you know, rap review person, so
neither am I, but at the end of the day, you know, we're open to having our opinions. Keep it a stack. I mean, Certified Lover Boy, was it something you were aware of and heard of? And
but you then know, you also have to pay attention to their strategy though, because then, you know, a lot of people, they use the music for like, you know, like they'll put it on their stories, they'll put it on the TikToks, you know, just
No. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because here's one thing you forgot, or not you forgot, but people forgot to realize, because so many people were like, okay, Certified Lover Boy, you don't like it, but at the end of the day, it broke Spotify and Apple Music records, and this first day out. Bro, Kanye did that first, you know? And granted, Drake also did that with more larger numbers, but you also have to realize one major important factor. We knew when Certified Lover Boy was coming out. Granted, Drake was teasing the thing, but at the end of the day, he did give us an official, realistic release date. Donda, we didn't know when that motherfucker was going to drop. It dropped on us on a random Sunday, bro. A random Sunday, yet it still managed to break Apple and Spotify first day release streaming records before Drake. And that's when Drake, like, gave us a certified date, no pun intended, on Certified Lover Boy. Donda, it got dropped on our laps randomly, and we blew it the fuck up number-wise. Think about it, too. Donda and Certified Lover Boy, second day out, Donda's shit went up by, like, 10 million. Certified Lover Boy went down by, like, 20, you know? And you think I'm lying? Look at the numbers, fam. First day, second day. Drake took the W on the first day because everybody knew when Certified Lover was coming. So everybody was ready and anticipating to stream and bump those numbers up. But second day out, people have already got a taste of Certified Lover Boy. So now the second day is those people giving a reflection of what people ultimately thought of Lover Boy. And if you're out here coming second day lower than Donda, who went up the second day, forget about it. I'm just saying, you drop Certified mid. Certified mid. I'm sorry. You dropped Certified mid. You know why? Because you didn't choose to advance as an artist in 2021 after you dropped already what? Like, this is what, your sixth, seventh album already? Come on, man. Change it up. Right or am I wrong?
I feel you. I feel you. You just kind of like made me forget what I was going to say, but yeah, I mean, those first three tracks are the ones that I've been playing back and forth. And I mean, that just shows okay. you they're okay.
You have the number of albums, number of songs you're gonna remember off of Certified Lover Boy. You can count them on your hands.
Oh,
Donda, Donda, I can hear Donda from the beginning to end, all the way back, bro. No Child Left Behind. No Child Left Behind.
No, but see, like, this is what I was gonna say. Like, this whole situation just speaks to how the
back again. I use my back against the wall. Never count on y'all. Always count on God. He's the miracles on me. Sorry.
You made me forget again. No, wait. It's back. No, what I was gonna say is like this whole situation just speaks to how like how the music industry is moving now. Like, you know, people are people really making music to make art and music, or is it more just to, like, you know, please all these, like, you know, catching clout and all this shit. They're not doing it for the art anymore. It's more like what's gonna be a hit, you know, like what's gonna make that TikTok video? What's gonna make the stories and shit? Like, you know, people like the little, you know, the bubblegum rap. They love all that like generic shit that like just speaks about the same things. And I feel like that's what they're after. So you also have to look at that, like the strategy that they took to like see what songs are gonna make it on the album, what kind of songs were gonna be, or you know what the theme was gonna be or whatever. Because then you also have to look at all the memes that came out after Certified Lover Boy, like,
and all the memes after Donda too.
Yeah, but you see how
wait. So basically, you're just saying
respect the fucking process.
You know. I can see where you're coming from, G. And you know what? You're right. The meme game, but you got to realize one thing, though. Ultimately, the last thing that's going to speak is your art. And if your art is coming mediocre compared to Donda. And listen, I'm not saying Donda's a masterpiece. Granted, compared to Kanye's work, there's a bunch of other Kanye stuff that like ranks way higher. But ultimately, for me, the final product and the thing I'm looking forward to is, do you move forward with your sound or are you staying in a rut?
But
and
see,
Drake is staying in a rut, my boy.
But see, like, the average listener or the average fan is not really going to look at that. They're just going to see, like, oh, there's this song bang. Like, can I listen to this, you know, over and over on my playlist?
But it don't even bang, though. Like, it don't even bang because it sounds like generic Drake. So everybody's just like, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
the average listener is not really going to be looking for all that extra stuff. You know, like, I mean, I appreciate the artistry. I appreciate the lyrics. I appreciate, you know, like, the creativity. But not everybody's that way. It's like, is it like talking about shit that I can relate to? Cool. Then, you know, that's what they go for.
That's all I gotta say. All I gotta say is Donda had Pop Smoke and Certified Lover Boy didn't. But you know what? It is what it is. But you know what? We're gonna put this to bed. We're gonna put this to bed, bro. All right. Certified Lover Boy, Certified Mid. All right. Fucking Anthony Fantano also helped us seal the deal. He gave Donda a light to mid 7. Gave Certified Lover Boy a light to mid 3.
Wow.
That's all I gotta say. Anthony Fantano is internet's busiest music nerd. Gave Donda a way higher score than he did Drake's Certified Lover Boy.
That's that dude with the glasses on.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Bald sir. Whitest teeth in the game. I gotta show you that guy. Because I'm gonna keep it a stack. People are just like, bro, why is Anthony Fantano's opinion even matter that much? Because he's a YouTuber, yes, but he is also the internet's busiest music nerd. And this guy really, like, this guy, his whole review, he goes track by track by track. He goes through every single track and ultimately gives us a well-dissected analyzation of the album and why it's good or why it's bad. I'll show you his review for both so you could see why people value his opinion, because honestly, he really puts in the work to analyze and really, you know, see where the artist is coming from and why they're dropping certain albums. Like the way the man talks, you can tell the guy knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah, I've seen a few of his videos.
So, you know, Certified Mid, Donda all day, every day, you know, it is what the fuck it is. Yes, sir. Donda out here, in my opinion, one in terms of quality of music. But let's move on to more lighter topics. So over the long weekend, your boy got a case of depression, so he wasn't really out and about too much. But he didn't let the entire weekend go to waste. He said, fuck it, Monday's coming through. We about to get it going right now. We did not do anything Saturday, Sunday because we were depressed and in bed all day, so fuck it. So we decided to go see and I hope I'm not saying this wrong because I don't want to butcher it and disrespect Asian people, but Shang-Chi? Am I saying it right?
I thought it was Shang-Chi.
Oh, Shang or Shang-Chi? Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings recently also dropped for the Labor Day weekend. The next installment in Marvel's What phase are they in right now? Phase 4, I think, or Phase 5, whatever, post-Avengers Thanos storyline. So now we are really getting to the nitty-gritty of newer superheroes kind of laying the foundation for what's next in the Marvel, and one major one was Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, because like Guardians of the Galaxy, like other Marvel stories, these are superheroes and storylines that aren't necessarily as well mainstreamed and examined, but do have potential to be amazing, and I'm gonna keep it a stack. The movie did a pretty good job. My overall review, I gave it a solid 7.5 out of 10. 8 if I'm being light. 7.5 to 8 out of 10. And I'll give you my reasons why. One, this was a Asian American themed Marvel movie, so you know it came with that motherfucking action. And the action was insane. It was crazy. It was bananas. I was like, yo, god damn, bro. At a certain point in this movie, I was like, yo, wait. I was like, yo, shit's going crazy right now. Motherfuckers throwing lefts. Motherfuckers throwing rights. And then I'm just like, god damn, yo. This movie is going crazy. I remember when Shang-Chi was fighting motherfuckers in the bus. I was like, yo, this shit go banana, son. I was like,
everybody was kung fu fighting.
Yo, the kung fu.
Is it kung fu?
Yeah, no, dude, dead ass. The fight scenes in this movie are ridiculous, bro. They go hard, so the action is definitely worth the price of admission. So I say it did a good job in being an action movie, good job in being a Marvel movie too, because you got a lot of little, you know, breadcrumbs of previous Marvel movies. It stars Sir Ben Kingsley, who everybody knows was the scapegoat villain in Iron Man 3, the Mandarin. Because in this movie, they do a redo of the Mandarin villain. So the original guy who has the Ten Rings, he is the Mandarin. The real Mandarin. In the comics, quote unquote.
So is this an alternate Mandarin?
No. It's a redo, because in the movie they say that they, you know what they used to try to explain the Mandarin in Iron Man 3? They were like, "Can you believe the Americans love my organization, or were so infatuated in my organization, the Ten Rings, that they made their own Americanized version with someone who pretended to be me, and they use the fake name of guess what?" And I said it in the movie theater, and Jess heard me, and she was like, and I was like, the Mandarin is like Mandarin. So this basically is a redo of the Mandarin. They admit that, yeah,
One's the original.
Yeah, because in this one, they have the one that was in Iron Man 3, but then even he was just like, yo, I'm just an actor. They had me playing the Mandarin, not really the Mandarin, you know? So they really were trying to redo the Mandarin character. Also, they brought back Abomination from The Incredible Hulk, which is weird for a little bit, but they brought him back. Same thing with Juan from Doctor Strange. He's back
in the... So, spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, you saw this in the trailer, too. So I'm not here spoiling too much, because I know this is as much of a spoiler-free as we can. But as I'm giving you, because that's what I'm saying. The characters in this movie from the previous Marvel movies are minimal characters. Not the big mainstream ones, but they do their job. Also, spoiler, and I'm going to give you a quick 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. In the end, the post-credits scene, you see Mark Ruffalo, who plays Bruce Banner, i.e. the Hulk, and also Captain Marvel.
Tight.
Exactly, in the end credits scene. So they do bring in other characters from that universe trying to tie it all together. So, in my opinion, it did a great job in trying to really set forth the next generation of Marvel movies and characters, trying to bring forth this new installment of heroes. But also, they did have some flaws. I'm going to keep it a stack. One, the flaw that I don't blame it, just it's that movie. Every movie does this, where certain characters just kind of happen to just, you know, be good at stuff for the sake of the story moving forward. Like, for example, in the movie Awkwafina, do you know Awkwafina?
The actress?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She plays... She comes on this? Yeah, she plays the best friend of Shang-Chi. And through the whole movie, like, she's just a regular person, a regular schmegular person. But by the end of it, she gets, like, these crazy abilities to do archery, you know? And then, I don't want to spoil it, but she does something very important in the movie. And I'm just like, weren't you the same person that was just a parking attendant in the beginning? And all of a sudden, you have all these powers and stuff like that? Also, she shoehorned herself into the movie so fast and simple that we're just supposed to accept it. Like after... Shang-Chi reveals who he really is and goes all crazy kung fu mode. Awkwafina's just like, Shang-Chi's like, I need to go to like China and find my sister. And then Awkwafina's like, all right, cool. You can explain all the stuff that you just showed me in the plane. And then Shang-Chi's like, no, you can't come with me. And then he's just like, no, fuck that. I'm going. And then we're just like, okay. Like, that's all it took. All it took was Awkwafina, like, you know, putting her foot down a little bit and starting to be like, I'm part of this storyline, whether you like it or not. So let me go. And I'm just like, okay. I felt like I wanted a more natural reason for her to like be involved in this movie, but she, you know, scapegoat reason to be in this movie, but I'll let it slide. And then same thing near the end, she does something crazy and I'm just like, that's bullshit. And then I'm gonna keep it a stack. It tried to be nice and acknowledge its own bullshit. Like when Awkwafina was really retelling her story, she was even like, yeah, dude, I like before I got into this, I didn't know jack shit. Now here I am doing all this crazy badass shit. And I didn't even know I had it in me. Which is a nice way to kind of acknowledge the fact that, like, you know, you have to kind of explain how she's able to do all this crazy badass shit. But then, you know, at the same time, you're just like, that's it? It's like, come on, man. You wanna see character, in my opinion, at least for me, I wanted to see character progression. So I'm not just going to be like, oh, yeah, cool. I'll accept that she just suddenly knows how to do badass shit right away. It's like, you got to earn that shit. Like, Shang-Chi's story, like, you understood. Like, you got backstory. You got, you know, development. Whereas Awkwafina's character just kind of, you know, just kind of fit into the mold and was very cookie cutter. Like, oh, fuck it. You know, everybody can do badass shit. Fuck it. Let her do badass shit, you know? Mm-hmm. But the action sequence was good. The story was good. It wasn't your typical good versus evil. It was good versus evil, but the evil was possessed because it wanted to ultimately just kind of get back its love, like, his lover, you know, like he's blinded by wanting to believe that his love is still alive. So he'll do anything and everything to try to get it back, even if it means dooming himself and like the people around him and stuff like that. So you can understand why, you know, the guy did it, you know, ultimately the storyline was very simple. A lot of CGI, a lot of monsters, a lot of weird characters. But, you know, at the end of the day, maybe this is a new angle that Marvel's going for in terms of, like, their CGI next step. But for me, I thought it wasn't too bad. I was like, you know what? Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, it do go hard. But, and this is a semi-story time, because when I went with Jess, we went to the theater out in Cerritos. Dude, tell me why. Throughout the whole two-hour movie, there were these little snot-nosed, silver-toothed gremlin fucks running through the theater. And I'm thinking to myself, because they would always run and make a left, so I'm thinking they're leaving to go to the movie, I mean, to go to the restroom and, like, take a leak. But then I saw them. No, they were running around the fucking entire theater like they're doing fucking bleachers in high school PE, bro. Going up and down and up and down. And at no point did I see any fucking parents, bro. At no point did I see any fucking parents. And I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ, bro. I really wish Child Protective Services gave out tickets. Granted, I don't want them to take their kids because that's kind of a little extreme. But it's just like, can you give the parents a ticket? Be like, hey, listen, you owe us $400 because you basically raised a bunch of nuisance ass, fucking annoying ass kids. Because there was no reason for them to be running around. Their parents should step in and be like, hey, sit the fuck down or we're getting the fuck out, period. But no, they were running and running and running. Every single, bro, every time I would try to get engaged in the movie, it was like, oh, man, look at that. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. And they were loud, too. They were like, come on, let's go. I literally, bro, I was like, bro, can I beat these kids? I was like, they're not my kids, but can I beat them? Because, in all honesty, bro, the level of just obnoxiousness was ridiculous. And, like, I feel like everybody looked at each other and was just like, man, can these kids get fucking beat or get the fuck out? Because, in reality, they were being such a nuisance, bro. It's just like, you're ruining the experience for us, man.
So now we know. Don't go to Cerritos to watch a movie.
Exactly. Or if you do go to Cerritos and they got kids, run. Ask for your refund or run. Be like, hey, listen, there's kids in there. And these fucking kids, for some reason, it's just so annoying because these kids, all they needed to was a sturdy talking to, bro. I'm be like, I was fighting every fiber of my body to be like, hey, yo, can y'all sit the fuck down? Y'all been running all the entire 2 hours, bro. Sit down. You're not the only one trying to watch this movie. Sit the fuck down. But then it would have gone to the usual issue of just like the parents being like, don't yell at my kids like that. And then me being like, well, if you fucking discipline your kids in the first fucking place, I want to yell at them and be like, fuck you, fuck you. And then we're going to see a huge fucking argument. And next thing you know, I'm fucking being kicked out in the middle of Shang-Chi and the fucking Legend of the Ten Rings, bro. I was like, you lucky I want to watch this movie to the full, because if not, I would have fucking like took off my non-existent belt and whipped your fucking kids, fam. Because in the reality of it, somebody got to take charge here. And then we saw the dickhead-ass little fucking non-giving-a-fuck parents when they walked out with their kids. Bro, their kids, once again, did like 3-4 laps around the theater before they officially left. And their parents were just like sipping on their ice here and their popcorn. I'm like, you fucking degenerate pieces of fucking shit. I really wish you got jailed for not being able to control your fucking kids to this level, bro. Or at least got fined or ticketed, because, like, bro, they really walked out like if nothing happened. Like, wait,
millennial parent.
We enjoyed our movie. Oh, congrats! But everybody fucking else didn't, because of your snot little to the fucking gremlin ass silver tooth ass kids. Because you fucking suck at parenting and you can't fucking discipline your fucking kid to stay fucking still for 2 fucking hours. It's like, why even bring your fucking kid if they're not even watching the movie, bro? Straight up, why are you bringing your kid if you're not watching the movie? Makes zero sense. Zero sense why you're bringing your fucking kid if they're not even watching the movie, bro. It was so annoying, and it really fucking, like, I wanted to bust a Karen and be like, hey, listen, can I get my money back or something to go? Because there are fucking kids in there running around with zero parental supervision, and it's making this movie hard to watch, because it really did. Every time something serious in the movie came on, they were just like, because they would run up and down the fucking thing, and then they would jump off. When they got to the last 2 steps, they'd be like, "Tunk," and then "Tunk," like they were just, bro, the loudness of it. I just want to be like, I really want to get up and be like, "Hey, who is the fucking parents of these snot-nosed punks? Do they belong to, bro?" Because I want to beat the shit out of them for not acknowledging the fact that their kids are being fucking nuisances right now, bro. Because they really were, man. It pissed me off. It pissed me off, bro. I paid like almost $30 for the both of us, me and Jess. And all I ask is that no little snot-nosed fucking punks run around and ruin this fucking movie. They're lucky that we got that we finished coming from a brewery, because if I wasn't inebriated off the fucking beer, I would have said something straight up. I would have been like, yo, is there anything we can do with these fucking kids that are running around, bro? Because I did not pay almost $30 to be interrupted every fucking 5 minutes by these little snot-nosed punks running around because their parents don't give a flying fuck. I want to beat the shit out of their fucking parents, but I know that's not socially acceptable. So can you kick these fucking people out or give me a refund? Because I'm not fucking with this, you know? Have you had those moments where people just won't shut the fuck up during movies?
Well, fortunately, no. I mean, I've always had a good experience at the movies.
I do too, but when I don't have one, I really remember them. Because it's just like, come on, bro. Come on, dude. Y'all suck at parenting that much that y'all can't even have your kids being able to behave during a fucking movie theater, bro. Don't bring them. Don't bring them if they're not ready, bro. Straight up, me, if I had a kid and I took them to the theater and they were news the whole time, be like, listen, let's just leave early, take our L's, and remember, we can't bring this kid to a movie theater until he's older. Because it makes... bro, it just really pissed me off, dude. I was like, bro, I really wanted to just fucking, like, dropkick these kids. Like, sit the fuck down. Sit down. Sit down. Can you not sit down? Can you not be quiet for the rest of the movie? Then get the fuck out. And take your parents with you, because they don't deserve to watch this movie too if they can't even watch their fucking kid. Those fucking degenerate, I should call Child Protective Services ass fucking parents who don't give a flying fuck about their kid. But then the minute somebody else decides to stand up and do some legit parenting and fucking tell these kids that they're being fucking nuisances, now you want to be like, don't talk to my fucking kid like that, fuck you. And then start getting all frightened. Bro, I want it. Bro, if you are these type of parents, bro, if you are these type of parents to where you completely ignore
the shit way your kid is acting, but then the minute somebody else starts to step up and do your fucking job as a parent and you get upset, hey, listen, I'm going to keep it a stack, and this is the Tony Talks podcast official stamp. You're a cunt. You're a cunt. You're a fucking cunt. Because if I had a fucking kid acting like that, I'd be like, listen, sit the fuck down, watch the rest of this fucking movie, or we're out of here, bro. You're ruining the experience for everybody else. Other people paid to be in this movie. They didn't pay to hear and watch you run around these fucking goddamn aisles like you're trying to run bleachers in high school, bro. They're here to watch a fucking movie. And if you're making it difficult for them, I'm gonna get all of us out of here, get a refund if hopefully I can. If not, I'll count my L's and remind you that this is not proper movie theater behavior, bro. It's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. In my opinion, it's not that difficult. You know?
I still have to go watch the movie, though.
You do. And you know what? Let me know if you do. Because I even watched it the second time with you. Because you know why? The first time was ruined by those kids. So if you're ever trying to watch it again, bro, let me know. I'll pull up. We'll come back and we'll give the official LMNG stamp of approval whether it hits or not. But you know what? In the meantime, we'll leave you, you know, a little bit of a cliffhanger with my review. I give it 7.5 out of 8 minus the fucking kids. You know, but I liked it. It was good. It did its job. So, you know what? W on Marvel's part for trying to create the next scene, next phase in the cinematic universe for Marvel. But you know what we're going to do right now? We actually going to throw it over to our official, unofficial co-host, G, because before we started here, I know you told me that you had a little bit of an opinion of certain events going on right now, specifically towards the state and certain people. So I want to give this opportunity to hand it over to G right now. We're going to create this out of the blue new topic called G on the beat, because you had a lot to say about a certain topic, about certain people. So speak your piece, homeboy. Who you want to talk about? And more specifically, what about that person do you want to talk about? Actually, no, hold on. Give me a second. Wait, G, have you finished your white claws?
No, I still got it.
Okay. Is there beer in the fridge?
There should be some.
Okay. I'll be right back. Get your thoughts together, and we'll be right back with G's on the beat. Okay. So we took our pisses. We read up on the booze. Watched a little stand-up to clear our minds. So, G, I'm going to toss it over to you right now because this is another installment, or a new installment we like to call G on the beat, because I know you got a couple things you want to talk about. So feel free to like let the people know what you want to talk about.
What is this having to do with the whole, everything that's going down in Texas with the whole abortion situation?
Oh, shit. Just remember, you're going into some very murky waters, my boy. Abortion is a very hot topic, and we're not talking the store that sells band t-shirts.
Yeah, so it's a hot topic right now in Texas, because as we know, you know, they're saying
that, ultimately, Texas has made some of the most strictest abortion laws ever, to the point where you can even sue the person getting the abortion if you are the one that got her impregnated. It is very sick. It is very uncalled for because, listen, I'm going to keep it a stack, G. I'm going to keep it a stack. And this is the Tony Talks official right here, right now. I'm pro-life, bro. I'm pro-life. I'm not a fan of abortions, but I do. So listen, let me break down, because I know a lot of people are hearing, I'll be like, he's pro-life. Listen, let me break it down to the most strictest T in terms of the way I look at it. Ultimately, I'm pro-life because A, I acknowledge the fact that you're killing a kid. I know so many people are just like, oh, it's a bundle of cells and this and that. Okay, so if I see a pregnant chicken, I deck her in the fucking gut, and then she has a miscarriage, and be like, what are you talking about? Why are you so upset, bro? It's a bundle of cells, ain't it? Ain't it? Mm-hmm. You know, it's only a bundle of cells the minute they decide they don't want to keep it, you know? But at the end of the day, I understand I'm a man. I don't make children. So, listen, the libertarian in me, although I am pro-life, I understand that people ultimately have the freedom, even if I don't like it, to do things with their body, i.e. even kill a kid in their body. So that's why, you know, I'm not going to be these fucking Bible thumpers that are just like, don't get an abortion. I'm at the end of the day, I'm libertarian, bro. I need to let people do what they want to fucking do. I'm pro-life in the sense that we need to take a different direction
as to like not have these people like get abortions in the first place. Because think about it, we're living in the year 2021, the year that has some of the highest level of contraceptive science technology ever. Like, it's not just a condom, it's not just the fucking, you know, Monday through fucking Sunday pill, it's not just all that. You have implants, you have IUDs. We're living in a time right now where contraceptives are, you know, at its most advanced. So I feel like we as a society need to promote and encourage people to get these contraceptives so that way we don't have unwanted pregnancies. Also, I understand that at the end of the day, people are going to get abortions whether I like it or not. And that's fine because at the end of the day, libertarian, you got to let people do what they want. But I feel like the way pro-lifers are approaching this type of situation, I feel like you need to understand that at the end of the day, you need to give people the freedom to do whatever they want. But if you want them to be on your side, you shouldn't scold them. You shouldn't call them awful people. You shouldn't be like, you got an abortion, you're this, this, and that. Because at the end of the day, if you really didn't want her to kill her kid, bro, you would do your part in offering other solutions to make sure that's not an option. And I feel like we as pro-lifers need to do that too, is offer solutions to allow unwanted pregnancies to not result in unwanted abortions. But we are having a conflict of interest in that because all the pro-life people are just like, you need to keep your kid.
Yeah,
like
but at the end of the day, you can't control anybody.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, if you scold them, if you put them down, if you make them feel like they're pieces of shit for doing that, then you're just going to encourage them to do that because if you're putting them in such a low pedestal already, they're just going to, you know, be the person you told them they were going to be in the first place. You know, to me, I feel like in 2021, as a society, if we want to move forward without having the number of abortions we have now, I feel like we need to rethink our strategy, offer solutions for those that do have pregnancies to where maybe abortion isn't an option, but also at the same time, don't scold them and also work alongside to really adapt to what's going on in today's society. That's one thing I didn't see, but now I'm seeing now. It's like at the end of the day, you have to go with how things are going. And we're living in a society that is very pro-abortion. At the end of the day, I'm libertarian, so I can't be libertarian and say I don't support people's freedom to do what they want in their body, even if it means killing a kid. I.e., also same thing, we need to acknowledge that we need to get off this weird mental gymnastic or weird. We need to stop. We need to take off these road tinted glasses and act like we're quote unquote just eliminating a bundle of cells. Like, you're killing a kid, bro. Straight up, like, you're killing a kid. And if you don't believe me, then where's the kid? Where's the kid? Is dead, straight up. But you know what? That's the point, though. We don't judge you. We don't scold you. At the end of the day, we want to see that and ask ourselves, how can we prevent this? How can we do better? In a way to where it doesn't penalize the people, because ultimately, you don't control what happens to somebody's body. Straight up. That's why, as much as I'm pro-life, I'm not going to scold nobody for having an abortion, because at the end of the day, they have a freedom to do what they want to their body. You know? But that's the whole point. We as libertarians, we as people that are pro-life, need to promote a system, a society, a culture that embraces single motherhood, that is willing to support single motherhood, and also being able to also push forward the technologies of contraceptive technology. Because we're living in a time where so many people can get all these contraceptives to where they don't have unwanted pregnancies. So we need to promote that while also at the same time allowing women to do what they want with their bodies, because ultimately they have that right, whether we like it or not, you know? And that's why I stand in that position where I'm just like, I may not like it, but at the end of the day, I can't really do much about it, you know? Yeah. And we got to let that be, because these Bible thumpers are just like, I want to control this aspect of your life, this aspect of your life. And then ultimately it stopped being about what the point is. And that is not having all these unwanted abortions and ultimately maybe trying to do better as a society, you know? But that all that gets put on the side, gets taken to a backseat, because we are out here trying to fight our own moral majority, being like, no, I'm right because this. No, I'm right because this. No, 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 no. It's like, listen, we need to realize what the reality is in front of us and adapt and overcome this shit. You know? And that's where I really stand on the whole pro-life stance. I'm pro-life till I die, you know, because I feel like we are living in a society where there's too much contraceptive technology, too much of a lot of things that benefit us to be able to have all the sex we want without having an unwanted pregnancy. But also at the same foot, if someone unfortunately fell on those circumstances and had that happen to them, granted, I might not like that, but I need to respect the freedom of an individual's body and the individual's decision to do what they want to do with said body.
Of course, you know? But see, I feel like a lot of this whole situation comes from, because they've been focusing a lot on, you know, what if it's from a rape situation. So that's where all the focus has been going. It's like, okay, they should be able to do whatever they want with their body, especially if it's because of a rape.
Especially if it's because of that. Because think about it. Rape abortions make up only, take a wild guess how much percentage of abortions they make up. Take a wild guess.
I mean, I would say that'd be like the most.
But in terms of like, out of 100% of abortions, how much is rape abortions? Take a wild guess.
Honestly, I feel like it's less than what people are going in there just because they just don't want it.
Number wise, take a guess.
40%.
1%, my boy. 1%. So out of 100, 1% of that is rape, abortions.
Fact check, fact check.
Oh, definitely. Fuck it. Shit, hit me right now.
We're about to Joe Rogan this shit.
Joe Rogan this shit. Fact check me. Hey, Jeremy, pull that up. Hold on, give me a second. Hold up. Plant parent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about this, you know. Not much about the percentages, but I would think it was less than, you know, people just doing it just because they want to.
No, unfortunately, a lot of the parts is that rape and sex. Give me a second. Go ahead, continue talking, G. I want to make sure I get my stuff right too, because I hear at the Tone of the House podcast, though we're drunk and degenerates, we try to, when we do talk about serious topics, try to get the facts right.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yes. Okay, so this is an article from USA Today. Rape and incest accounts for hardly any abortions, so why are they now a focus? Just 1% of women obtain an abortion because they became pregnant through rape, and less than 0.5% do so because of incest, according to the Guttmacher Institute. Yet the battle over exceptions for both has garnered all outsized attention on the nation's abortion debate. So yes, 1% of abortions are about rape. But hear me out. And this is from who's coming from pro-life. If we made it to where we only focus on that 1%, would the pro-life people really be that up in arms? Think about it. If 99%, if we could solve 99% of the abortions and have that and only focus on that 1% that has to deal with rape, how much would that be? 1% of 99, a small margin, but that small margin represents a specific part of the abortion debate that is overall masked a large amount of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it's like, okay, well, if 1% of people getting of women getting abortions because of that, you know, we really wouldn't be up in arms. But because it's 1%, only 1%, and the rest are happening because it's just an inconvenience to the person that got pregnant, that really got to let you know, well, where as a society do we stand in terms of contraceptives? Mm-hmm. Granted, I'm not telling women to stop fucking. I'm not telling women to not do what they want to do with their own bodies. For free to do what they want. I'm simply offering a suggestion to where we can make a strive forward culturally in society to be like, you know what,
like we more conscious, yeah, about, yeah, how you doing,
like we took the precautions to make sure we don't have an unwanted pregnancy, so we're good, you know. But ultimately, that's a battle that both you and me can't really get on too much, because gee, unfortunately, we are cursed with the ultimate plague of having a penis. So, and listen, I get that argument for women too. It's like, listen, unless you have the ability to give birth, you really don't have a leg in this argument about giving birth. And granted, I'm going to give that. They're 100% right. 100% right. This is
my opinion, your opinion, but ultimately, we just got the ingredients to make the child, but we don't got the oven that can produce a child. You feel me? So we got the ingredients, but the bun that gets put in the oven, that's the female. And this is why I give my interpretation of where I stand abortion-wise. I don't like it, but instead of being a Bible-thumping asshole and being like, you're a fucking asshole for getting an abortion, I'll be like, why'd you get the abortion? And how can we take your why and move forward with a new way to where maybe we don't need to have unwanted pregnancies or unwanted abortions or unwanted so-and-sos. But that's why. It's going to take a level of maturity from both sides of the aisle in this argument to do so. And unfortunately, we don't have that luxury right now, my boy. We really don't, because so many people are like, you're pro-life and you're a Bible thumper. And if you're pro-choice, you know, you're really on that point. You know, there's no in-between. There's no room for conversation to be able to try to be like, well, hey, how can we get the best of both, or at least be able to get the positives of both, so where we as a society can move forward with a new concept of how we take, you know, repercussion, sex, abortion, living items, pregnancy, this and that, you know? We have these questions. It's a continuing debate and continuing argument. So it's like, where do we go from here, you know? That's why I let people know where I stand abortion-wise, but I'm not going to be like some asshole who thinks they have this holier-than-thou mentality, because ultimately I'm a guy. I don't give birth to kids, straight up. So if women do and they have the reasons why they don't want to go through that, we need to respect that, but also at the same time help them by being like, well, what can we do to where maybe an unwanted pregnancy isn't part of the equation, you know?
Yeah.
But ultimately, we as a society can't get there yet. But you know what, G? I really appreciate you coming through with that argument, that talking point, really trying to help digest what's going on, especially with the Texas ban. It's like, listen, I'm going to keep it a stack. The ban on abortion is like the ban on guns. You know, ultimately, it's illegal, but that doesn't mean people are going to not get them. So think about it. If you ban guns and people buy guns illegally, same thing. This is the same argument can be put to abortions. If you ban abortions, people get abortions illegally. Well, A, you put these people in the situation to where that's the case, you know? And that's just the way I feel it needs to. It's going about it, you know. But what do you feel?
No, and I agree with you, because it's the same thing. I'm pro-life as well, but then it's like you said, we don't really have a say on what women do with their bodies. And like, not saying I support it, but I'm not gonna be, you know, like criticizing them for doing it. Is everybody, you know, teach their own? Just gotta find a better way.
Straight up. And you know what? That's a good way of kind of ending this thing, because we're at the hour mark. So we have reached the hour mark of the Renaissance Podcast. Of course, we don't want no feminists coming out as foul. We, although we're pro-life, we understand why you get abortions, and we're not going to stop you from it, because we realize that is an inevitability of the way things are going right now. So please respect our, you know, philosophies, and we'll respect yours ultimately at the end of the day. But you know what? We're going to end it here, because after this, we're going to have the second installment of the podcast, which is the Bolsita Chronicles Part 3, the Military Industrial Complex, featuring your boy Tony Galindo and myself, Tony Lopez. But you know what, G? We're going to end this segment here. We're going to end this part here. I want to thank you so much for once again being my unofficial official co-host. Because TBH, your boy been feeling that depression lately. So the fact that we can come back on Wednesdays and continue to record this Madre every single week is a blessing, in my opinion. So I thank you so much for allowing me to do my bullshit on a weekly basis. And I hope that you are having just as much fun as I am, being able to, you know, just being able to talk shit and just, you know, do what the fuck we do. You feel me?
Of course. You already know.
Exactly. So, of course, you can follow myself at Tony Talks BC on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow the boy G at LMNG Media on IG. Of course, stick around, because it's not over in this bitch. We have another installment of Tony and Tony, A Tale of Two Tonys, i.e. the Bolsita Chronicles Part 3, the motherfucking Military Industrial Complex saga, coming at you live right after this. So make sure to stick around. We love you. We are always grateful for you. Remember, this is Tony and
G.
Reminding you to stay safe, stay beautiful, and remember, if you are anti-gun, you are anti-women and LGBT. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and please enjoy A Tale of Two Tonys. Bye!
Bro.
Bitch, you mighty one away. It sounded like a grave-ass hit.
Bro, I tried to hold it in as much as I could, but my lungs were like, hey, way.
Te pasas de verga, ya, wey. Hold up. All right, wait. Let me do the intro real quick. What's Cuddy family? Welcome back to another installment of the new segment we're going to do for the Tony Talks podcast. This one being called A Tale of Two Tonys. Yes, sirski, we back at it again with a third installment of the series that involves myself, Tony, and another fellow Tony, the recurring guest. You know him, you love him, the man of the hour, the man with the power. He is Mr. Borchita himself, taking a fat-ass hit. The one and only Tony Galindo.
Was cracking, though.
God, that's like crack. We got to make our own sound effects. Get really close to the mic. Remember, get really close to the mic like you're about to... Like, at the top right here. Like you would...
Toppy
right there. There you go, Mombroski. You good.
We goody, though.
Exactly. Anyway, so we're back at it again with A Tale of Two Tonys. We're live right now, and actually, we're in a new central command. This one being the boys' BMW. We hitting a nice little view.
Only dubs.
Only fans. But only
fans. Hey, what's up with them, like, supposedly changing? You know how they were in October, they were set to...
Oh, yeah. I talked about this in the podcast, that the one's going to be uploaded. I think by the time you're hearing this, it would probably be already talked about in last week's episode. But, yeah, they were going to get rid of the adult content, but they reversed that decision.
The adult content. And then there were some girls that were celebrating. They were like, oh, we should celebrate. My OF is free for a limited time.
What the fuck? Grave. They just giving away for free now. Like a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. give it away now. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Oh, wait, hold up. I'll take it here real quick. Dismount. Sheesh.
Fire-ass hit or what? All day, my boy. Fire-ass hits with fire-ass bud. Shout out the homie Cali Danks.
Let him know what we smoking, though.
Shout out the homie Cali Danks, though.
What we smoking, my boy?
Some Gorilla Glue skis, though.
Gorilla glue, and not the one you put on your hair.
Yeah, not that one. No el moco de gorila, güey, but fucking Gorilla Glue strain of Buddha.
No, remember that one, bro? That put Gorilla Glue on her hair because she wanted to, like, hold down her fucking extensions or braids or some other shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do, bro.
So that's what I mean. Like, we're not doing that shit.
That shit looked all grave. Like, when she put the extension and everything, you could still see, like, the gel, like sweeping from the side and shit.
Yeah, all baffled. But, nah, yeah, like, we're doing the opposite. We're smoking the strand. It's a good-ass strand. Unfortunately, we're having to smoke it out of a small little pipe because... Unfortunately, the boy Tony broke not one but two bongs, and then, you know,
SMH
right there. Real quick, let them know what happened to each bong. So first, you had the big bong, the gravity bong ish, like that one.
Yeah, the first one, the big one. So my mom had to use my car to go get groceries, and I told her to be careful with the little black pillow that's back there because it has a pipe. And she was like, oh, okay. And then when she gave me the car
back. By piping means bong.
When she gave me the car back, fucking, I get my bong. And when I pick it up, I just hear like.
Schling, schling, schling,
like
schling.
Fucking glass, shattering.
Glass shattering, goddamn.
I was like, nah.
Yeah.
And the little other one that my homie gave me is a little like, it was a little quartz banger for dabs.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, I was smoking like, I think it was like last week or 2 weeks
Not
ago.
Not broken windows.
Yeah, yeah, no, never that. Years of abuse, never that, though.
Never.
But I was blazing it in the back of my pad, and I put my bong, like, I was resting it on the bumper of my car, you know? And I got, like, really faded and shit, and I went back inside. I went to go sleep, and when I woke up for work the next day, like, I had forgotten, bro, that the bong was there, and as I'm reversing...
Faded. Cross-faded, fast food, because you were cross-faded as Barbados.
That shit fucking fell and it broke. I was like, damn. So now I have like this little pipe that looks like the, like if an octopus came out of the sea and you just saw his little schlong, you know? That's
how it looks like. All bad. So now the man is without a bond, so we're having to hit this out of a pipe. But it's getting good. The man cleaned it, so you know we are here taking some nice quality non-clogged hits.
Non-clogged hits.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Hey, that fool's sick, bro.
He's sick ass fool.
Bro, blood sport.
That shit go hard.
Fucking double impact.
Even in Street Fighter. Even though it was a corny ass movie.
It was a corny ass movie.
But he did his best he could.
Fucking, there's a lot of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, bro. Lionheart, I think.
He's way better than Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal's a fucking weirdo.
Fuck Steven Seagal. Damn. Fuck that fool, bro.
Damn, what's the beef with Steven Seagal? I don't like the guy.
That fool's weird, bro. Like, so. Okay, so, like, I feel like as a martial artist, like, obviously, yeah, it takes years, you know, it takes time, it takes so much dedication in order for you to, like, craft, like, master your craft, you know, everyone learns different martial arts, and obviously, everyone, you know, has, like, their own style, like, their own way they train and shit, you know, so Jean-Claude Van Damme, if I'm not mistaken, he does Muay Thai, kickboxing, Shokotan karate.
That Shokotan, though, he really, like, yeah, that was...
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, like, a little bit of jiu-jitsu. Not that much, though. And he's real good at it, bro. He has real good fucking... Like, I'm sure he uses stun doubles in his movies, but, like, he has real good moves. He knows how to dance.
Oh, wait, Jean-Claude Van Damme? No, you don't use no stun doubles. What the fuck?
No, really? Oh, I guess he's his own stuntman, just like Jackie Chan, you know? And it's sick, you know, like, he's fearing and everything. Like, I feel like even at this point in time, like, if he makes a movie, like, you know, he maybe has a chance of redeeming himself, you know, from that bullshit DVD to video shit, the JCVD, remember all that shit?
Oh, yeah.
That shit was... But whatever, though. And Steven Seagal, on the other hand, bro, this was a prick. He has, according to him, a seventh Dan... Black, which is the 7th degree black belt.
Mamadas.
You know, according to him, you know, he's like a master. He's certified to teach and train and shit and whatnot. And the only thing he knows how to do is Aikido, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Which is art of reflection. But, like, I don't know, bro. Like, the way I've seen him do it and, like, all his videos and shit and movies, like, it all looks really staged, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks so easy. Like, it looks like they just give it easy to him and he does it with no effort, you know? That's how it looks to me.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. They look like you fucking, like, they pay these fools to just be like, hey, listen, just take the dive real quick. Don't say nothing. And then let's go. All right, just let it happen. Just let it happen.
Stadio, bro. Like, I don't know. The movies in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you know, like the martial arts ones, they were something else, my boy.
They really were, man. Because that's the thing. That was like a product of its time, bro. Because now everybody's trying to take this action shit just to a levels of just like breaking the laws of physics. Granted, these other movies did some dumb shit too. But most of the time, it was just like, you know, it felt like at least it was made raw. You know, it was like it was made with the intention of trying to be good given the limited amount. Because, I mean, these didn't have the biggest budgets. They didn't have the best actors and certainly not the best scripts, you know.
Exactly.
So, but they made it work, though. And somehow they found a way to, like, you know, make our way into our hearts and just, you know, stay. And that's why we love Jean-Claude Van Damme, because he was in a lot of cheesy 80s action movies, but those cheesy 80s action movies got through some difficult times, man.
Hell yeah. I feel like, because I've seen Steven Seagal movies, you know, despite how bad he is, I feel like the only one, bro, legit, out of all the movies, the only one that stands out to me that I actually kind of liked from him was, I think it's Hard to Kill. And from 1990.
Hard to Kill.
From 1990. That's the only one, bro, where they kill him. Remember that they shoot him and then they shoot his family?
Yeah.
And then that fool's still alive and shit and whatnot. That's the one. I don't know, for some reason, you know, because it has to do with family, you know.
And like, yeah, it's a personal matter, you know.
It is a shitty, like, of course, his acting. Oh, and the way he runs, bro. Have you seen the way he runs?
Yeah.
This motherfucker's like 6'4", 6'5". And he runs, and you could only see his hand. You could only see his hands move.
Yeah.
While he's running,
he's just like.
I don't know why, bro. That fucking one runs real weird, bro. And he's
worse than a Naruto run.
Exactly. Worser than a Naruto run.
Thoughts on Canes. Do you fuck with Canes?
Hell yeah. Raising Canes is
bomb. You know what's crazy though? Hold up. You know what's crazy real quick? I know I don't mean to flip the subject real quick, but Canes, I fuck with Canes heavy, bro. Canes slaps. But I don't understand why all of a sudden motherfuckers are hating on Canes. The same motherfuckers that were on Canes' dick in the beginning are now the same ones leading. They're following
Canes' thick breaded dick.
They're following now the trend of like hating on fucking Canes, because apparently Canes is now the one that's like the fucking, that now is trash apparently for some fucking reason. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro?
Canes is bomb.
At no point did I ever think Canes is ever to be considered trash, bro. Like, Canes is overrated, it's trash. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? Yeah. That's such a dank. The sauce go hard. Bro, box combo number one, hold the coleslaw extra hold toast, my the boy.
Coleslaw.
I already know the don't fucking toss golden it too much order. Here. This
hold the coleslaw.
Hold the slaw. Everybody right now, listen, if you haven't experienced Canes or you're talking about what do I need to order to make sure I get that bomb shit, bro, it's simple. Box combo number one, hold the coleslaw, extra Texas toast, my boy.
No.
That's the golden rule right
extra
there.
Toast.
Take that after you've been drinking or you've been having the munchies because you smoked a fat bolio. That's what you need to get.
Or even after as a good
power move.
Fucking. And you fucking, just need more gas on the tank.
You got a good fucking. Now you got to eat a little bit of that clucking chicken. You feel me? The crit of that Canes chicken.
After that fucking. Now I need that clucking.
Clucking. You feel me? But no.
Hey, bro, have you tried clucking Blaze?
Yeah.
Bro, that shit fucking
smacks, but I'm Dave's Hot Chicken Gang till I die, though.
Dave's Hot Chicken is cool too, but I think Clucking Blaze is.
I got one by my job, bro. It was so fucking convenient, bro. Cause I could just. I haven't had that in a while. Low key, I'm fiending. Nah, but I got. I'm gonna take some lunch,
bro.
Tomorrow.
Low key, I'm a chicken whore, bro.
I do love chicken like a motherfucker. That Popeye's fucking chicken.
I prefer to eat chicken over beef.
Bro, let's get a chicken sandwich after this, bro.
A chicken sandwich, though. No fucking pickles, though, cause I don't like pickles
anymore.
Yeah,
fuck pickles, bro. Fuck pickles and fuck mustard. But you know what's crazy? Fuck mustard except for spicy or honey mustard.
Bro, have you ever tried horseradish mustard?
Yeah.
Bro, that shit is
pero
the best condiment.
But that shit low-key stings your nose, dog.
It does, bro. It reminds me an awful lot of something, you know?
La bolchita.
Nah, serio, though.
Enjoy responding.
That shit, like, fucking, it burns a little bit, like, when you eat it.
Fuck
like,
yeah, bro.
Dude.
Philippe's, the French dip sandwiches,
bro,
right?
Yeah,
the spicy mustard.
That shit is something else,
bro.
Bro,
I remember I went to, yeah. I went, and the same thing, bro. I ate the mustard. That shit, you could feel it in your nostrils. That shit cleared my, fuck Vicks,
like,
dog. That shit cleared
pressure
my nostrils, bro.
Relieved. No more, bro.
No more sinus relief.
Don't buy Mucinex. Don't buy none of that shit. You want to low-key get rid of your sinus issues?
Get that fucking
go to
Philippe's.
Get that fucking French dip.
And ask for extra spicy mustard.
Extra, my boy. I don't want one. I want two of them motherfucking containers of that motherfucking horseradish mustard.
Get you a fork and just slaver
a
top layer.
Act like
if
you're Michelangelo for a little bit, you know, and just make a little.
Paint that hoe. Paint that bitch.
Paint that bitch up, bro.
We must
consider it your Mona Lisa.
Because that's just going to fucking rape your nostrils, dog.
That shit is going to fucking have no mercy on
sodomize
you,
your fucking nostrils, bro.
Damn, sodomy, bro. That shit's going to be so bad, bro. You're going to want to go to church the next day and confess your sins.
Be like, Lord, forgive me for what I have done. But I done fucked up with the mustard.
With the mustard, though. There's a lot of people that don't really like mustard. I don't know why. I feel like it's because of that. Because
mustard is just bitter, bro. Like, it's unnecessarily bitter.
It's
that's why honey mustard or spicy mustard is different, because it adds the element that it fucking needed to make mustard taste good.
Exactly.
Because I feel like, yeah, mustard is just a sour fucking condiment, bro. But the spicier the honey makes it different. That Grey Poupon honey mustard, bro.
Oh, the Grey Poupon, though. Oh, bro. I forget which brewery it is. I think it's Coronado Brewing. Or I may be wrong. It's a brewery like right there in San Diego. Those motherfuckers, they have like a beer, a stout, and there's a mustard brand out there, and they
what
made
the
like
fuck?
Their own. Like, it's like a stout.
Ew.
Spicy mustard, bro. It's bomb. I didn't think it was gonna be good. I tried it. It's like really heavy, like a robust dark flavor of mustard. It's good, bro. It's real good. But if you don't like mustard like that, you shouldn't eat it, you know?
I feel as you. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know, man. Mustard in a beer, I don't think I'll do that shit. But I fucked the honey mustard, though, and spicy mustard, so.
Mustard, dude.
Ooh, fuck. Low-key, I'm hanger for a chicken sandwich, but also some nugs, dude. Some Wendy's spicy nugs, dude. Nugs go hard. And we're smoking nugs right now, fool. He's packing another bowl right now. So we about to get a crack and lacking. We're barely 15 minutes in, bro. I feel like we've been talking for a cool ass minute. We're only 15 minutes in this bitch.
We're faded
as fuck, my boy. Low key, and then we off the Buchanan. Off the Buchanan. We've been driving for a cool minute. We're actually driving through the Hollywood Hills. So this is how you know we're getting old, bro, because we were driving through the Hollywood Hills and all we were doing was orgasming. Getting faded and orgasming as to how good these houses look. We're like, oh my God, look at that driveway. Look at the patio. Oh my God. But that shit went hard. I'm going to keep it a stack, bro. That even right now here where we're at right now, like some of the houses here are nice. This place is nice. It's a continuing thing to for us to want to like inspire us to work hard. So don't give me the exact location, exactly, my boy. We about to get fucking swatted, dog.
We gotta work hard so that we can fucking have what we want, you know.
I have to like put the microphone on you like I'm interviewing you because you're out here trying to fucking pack the bolio, but it's all good, my boy. But no, it's a constant reminder for the goal. What's the goal here? And that's to get a bitch in fucking crib, bro. The man Tony said so. He wanted to get his own crib so he can throw dinner parties, dog.
Oh, hell yeah, bro. So you could throw dinner parties, so you could have a backspace for your dogs.
Let me ask you this though. All right, you accomplish the dream, you get the crib. First dinner party, what's on the menu, fam?
Chicken Alfredo, fucking chuck roast, and what else? And maybe salmon, maybe, depending who gets there.
You know what? I'm my fucking basic ass, but low-key the party side of me, you know what I would do for my first housewarming? I would have it on a Saturday, but I would call it Taco Tuesday on Saturday, and we do TNT. What's that? Tacos and tequila. It's simple. Tacos, we got margaritas. We got shots. We got palomas. And we got tacos on deck. I'm talking chicken. I'm talking asada. I'm talking adobada.
Chorizo.
I'm talking lengua. Buche.
Buche. Tripa. Suadero.
Cabeza. Trompe.
Lengua.
That comes later.
Lenguita.
Lengua.
That comes later. Wow.
This guy. No, definitely a taco. Or low-key, I would low-key, you know what I want to make, dude? Brick oven pizza, bro.
Oh, bro.
That hey, shit's hard.
Bro, right here by my pad, bro. It's not that far from my pad. It's closed right now, though. I think they closed like at 10 or 11. But it's on Soto before going to my house.
Sotomayor.
And there's a little house right there. It's a family-owned business. In front of their house, in their front porch, they have a brick oven, and they make brick oven pizza.
Fuck.
And they sell fire as wings, and they sell fire piña colada. Not like alcohol, but just a drink.
I feel like this Taylor to Tony is just making us hungry.
Bro.
This is the Make the Tony Hungry episode.
This is the foodie episode.
I know. Hey, fuck. I just got to wait one more hour and my fucking direct deposit hits. They won't ball out on some food. I left my fucking wallet at the fucking crib, though, like a stupid fuck. But you know what? I'm kind of happy that I'm still got Apple Pay because that low-key does come in clutch.
It does come in clutch, bro.
It just costs us our freedom, but low-key the future is now. Yeah. You feel me?
It just costs you your freedom because every time you use a piece of technology, it's like an extra thumbprint, you know?
You're marked. You got places everywhere, fam.
Marked.
Marked.
If you think that you're not marked, you're definitely a mark.
Yes, cool. Let me see. Hit that shit. What's up? You need it? Oh, I got greens? Oh, for sure. All right. Talk to the people, entertain them while I take this hitty.
Yeah, though.
I got it.
You got greenies, though.
Here we go.
But yeah, bro, fucking. Remember a couple years ago when fucking the homie Snowden came out on live TV saying that, oh, you get spied on, this and whatnot. And then the United States was like, you motherfucker. And they wanted to look for him for treason, but he escaped to Russia, and now Putin is his homie. He's the one giving them, like, little...
Hold on. Didn't he go to Ecuador?
I heard that he did go to Ecuador. Like, I don't know if it was before or after Russia, but I know that he was in Russia for a while. He may be in Ecuador now. I'm not really sure. But I know that the Russian government, like, you know, Putin himself, he offered to protect them.
The problem with that is because the American government made it out to seem that exposing military and political corruption is a bad thing, saying, oh, he's a whistleblower. I'm like, no, what this guy is a fucking hero.
He's a hero.
Because he exposed the very thing that we feared our government will be if we give it too much power. And that is a war-hungry fucking... was that military industrial complex feeding motherfuckers that only give a fuck about the fucking final product, which is the financing, the money. Where's it going and how can we get it more into our fucking pockets? And this is why we keep funding a war. This is why in 2021 we barely got the fuck out of Afghanistan and now it's a fucking shit show, son.
Talk to him real quick. I don't know, bro. Like, the MIC, like the military industrial complex, like, I know, like, when normal people, like your average Joe, they talk about the military, like, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, oh, they're fighting for our freedoms, you know? And yes, that is true, to a certain extent, you know? Obviously, like, they get recruited, you know, they go through all that vigorous training, they become certified, they become specialists in their own field, you know, whether it's infantry, combat engineering, you know, aerospace mechanics, whatever the fuck it is, you know, they do it, you know, with a goal that they're there to fight for people's freedoms too, so they can fight for their country, you know. But I also do know, bro, like how you said, the end goal is always money. It's how do I explain this?
Damn, sorry, bro. I was showing Tony a funny
it's all
video.
Good. But like I was saying, you know, like it's the reason why war is always fucked. The reason why there's conflicts. When I say conflicts, I mean wars. There's wars that have existed and that have fucked up countless countries, you know, throughout history. You know, it's because of money. It's because, you know, whether that country wasn't, you know, diplomatically, you know, okay, or wasn't like in good terms with the other country, or because they have a natural resource that they want to keep getting, like oil, shit like that. You do know, bro, I don't know if you know, since we're talking about like war, you know that there's a lot of countries in Africa that they're infamously known for having precious metals and like rubies and shit that they have underground. And, you know, mercenaries, private contracting companies, and including, you know, they have used troops for that so that they can, you know, go to these areas and where they're mining it and shit so that they could use it, you know, and round it up for money.
War!
Huh! War.
Yeah!
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. But yeah, bro, that might see something else, bro. Like, I get it, bro. Like, we need security.
I like how the tale of two Tonys just got really serious right now.
I understand that there has to be, like, order in place, you know? Because, obviously, like, if everyone had the mentality that they can do whatever the fuck they wanted to be, then society wouldn't be civilized. Not saying that it actually is civilized, you know?
We live in a fucking jungle, dude.
But, like I'm saying, you know, in order for you to have some fucking decency, in order for you to not be a complete piece of shit, you know, there has to be some sort of order. But, like, in the society that we live in, could we have drawn the line? Because I think that line is way past where it should have been drawn. Where could we have had drawn the line between, you know, fighting for what's right and then, like, when it comes down to, like, just trying to control and take over a person's, like, lifestyle, you know? It's crazy, bro. It's really crazy. When you
think I know what I'm going to name this Tale of Two Tonys. The military-industrial complex saga.
Saga, though.
Yeah, because everything has to be a saga. We got a saga series going. First one is the Bolsita saga. Now there's going to be the military-industrial complex saga.
Bro.
Exactly. All right, cool. Well, I mean, I think if we can get a good 30, I think we should be good. So, 5 more minutes, and then
Oh, shit. We got the ghetto bird out. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
Oh.
Kumbaya.
It's a really, really familiar sound, you know?
Exactly. Bro, hey, remember what I talked about? The church, remember? The Christian Muslims?
Oh, yeah, bro.
Because I was talking about, I talked to Tony, because I was like, I was really fascinated, but also scared of those people that, like, I don't know what kind of Christianity is, but the one where they have the women dressing like long skirts and like
Cristianos Evangelicos. Yeah, my grandma was one, bro.
I think so, but it's like where you basically put the fucking, the ladies gotta put that white shit over their hair, and they gotta wear long skirts so that way they don't show their ankles or some bullshit. And like they go to church every single day.
Buenos días, hermano. Bendecido sea usted por nuestro Señor Jesús.
This fool. The cult's already got to him, man.
Shut the fuck up.
No, I'm just kidding. No, but it just really trips me out. I'm like, bro, these people really stay going to church fucking Monday through Friday, my boy. It's like, bro, is that really necessary?
Some of these people be giving 10% of what they make to the church.
20% sometimes, 10. Bro.
No way.
I know some people that do 20, my
bro. Why? Bro.
Why?
This isn't just to talk shit, but it's a genuine question. What do they think that they're getting out of them putting some money aside from their income to them?
We don't know. It's that sense of being like, well, the church is always going to be there. I'm like, yeah, they're there for you because you pay. Stop the cash flow once and then watch the switch up happen in the name of the Lord, apparently.
En el nombre del Hijo, del Padre.
El Padre, del Hijo, el Espíritu Santo.
Amen.
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 Like a motherfucker. But anyways. So, no, I was just really... Because that's just to me was always been a trip, man. It's just like, I don't understand why, like, they need to go to church every day. Why they need to devote their lives so much. Like, they literally be standing outside with, like, food stands just, like, trying to make money all just to go to the church. Granted, I understand you like a religion, but when your religion requires that much of your devotion to life into it, it's just like, goddamn, son. You guys are like the Christian Muslims, bro. Like, you have to really be about that shit 24/7.
Solo a Cristo yo adoraré. Solo a Cristo oh. Yo alabaré.
Oh my God, bro.
Jesus fucking Christ. I was raised mainly Catholic, so I just know that, like.
It's weird, bro, because my grandma was Christian, so I kind of grew up Christian, but my dad and my mom were Catholic.
I was Lutheran Christian for a cool minute.
Lutheran Christian.
They're
what
like,
was that?
I would consider them the cool Christians. Like, they'll allow gays. They let you celebrate Halloween. Like, they don't know bullshit like that, you know? Just show up to church on Sunday for like an hour, and then you Gucci, my boy.
That's not that bad, actually.
Yeah, because Lutheran is based off of Martin Luther, the original Martin Luther, who questioned the integrity of the church. Because basically back in those days before Martin Luther burnt them out, it was basically like pay to pimp and shit like that. It's like, oh, okay, cool. You want to get into heaven because you sinned? All right, cool. Couple Hail Marys and then just a couple coins in the fucking machine and then you'll be
hey, was
voided
Martin
of your sins.
He was Baptist, huh?
Yeah, Baptist, but he was named after Martin Luther, though, because he was the one that essentially like wanted
what
to bring...
What are Baptist Christians?
I don't know. But don't know all I know is that... Martin Luther was revered for basically giving responsibility to the church to be true to their intentions of what they want to do. It's like, this isn't a for-profit thing, dude. Because you're alienating a large portion of the people that don't have money, so they feel like they're going to burn in hell in eternity because, you know, they can't afford to fucking pay for the fucking thing. And then Martin Luther's like, no, fam, just, you know, read the Bible, try to live an honorable, moral life in the name of God, and you're good to go, my boy. You know, just read the Bible and do all your shit, you know? That's why, you know, at least Lutherans are just required to go to church on Sunday and shit like that, you know? It's just like, we don't expect much of you. Just give us one day out of the week, an hour out of your day, you know? We'll teach you the golden rules of Jesus, and then you can come and forgive your sins, and then we out this bitch.
Bro, you want to hear? I think I've told you this before. I can't really remember, bro. If I tell you this, bro, well, not if I tell you, obviously that's already gonna happen, but I for sure know that I'm gonna go to hell, bro. When I was like 17, I think 16 or 17, I think it was the second to last, or it was the last year of me being an altar boy.
Uh-huh.
I met this girl that she started going to church with her tia.
And you fucked her on the altar.
And she was pretty cool. No, bro, listen. She was pretty cool. Like, we started talking and everything. And then she came up to me. She was like, hey, do you want to do it inside the church?
I
was
like, what the fuck? I knew it.
I was like, that's terrible. I'm down. Bro.
That's terrible.
Guess where we did it, bro.
In the altar.
Bro. We did it in the father's confessing booth. We did
it, bro.
We did it with the little window down, bro. You know how you lift a little window to
forgive
talk
me, father, for I'm about to come, yo,
bro, bro. You know the little window that they used to talk to them.
Yeah,
that shit was down, bro. This. Bro, I think I low key think I snapped one of the legs of the little chair that the fool sat on. I think, bro, low key.
Santa Maria.
This
fucking the year of fucking self. I don't know what better way to end it than on that, my boy. We reached the half hour mark, so I mean we'll just leave it at that, broski. That is very savage of you, my boy.
My boy, like I it's not that bad, bro.
True.
I
sucked the titty at church, you know. Bro, it is what it is.
The next day, I see some lady fucking cleaning the inside.
Ah, disgusting.
I was like, but I don't remember nutting in there, though. That's why I was like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Like, she probably fucking killed herself, bro. Just the thought of fucking in the one box she was
like,
supposed to pray
for. She walked
in
there, she was like, huele a piña. My boy.
Oh my fucking, this fucking guy, dude. Jesus fucking Christ. All right, well listen, man. This has been another another fucking fucking piña this week. This has been another installment of A Tale of Two Towns.
I'm not even talking about SpongeBob's house,
my boy. Oh my god. This man said puro fresquito. But anyways, this has been A Tale of Two Tonys. I want to once again thank the second Tony in this bitch, Tony Galindo. Thank you for pulling up. Thank you for telling us about your stories about how you made the confession to boost my la piña. You know.
Endulzando la leche.
Endulzando la leche. This food. Anyways, tell them where they can follow you, my boy.
At psychedelic_junkie666.
You can follow myself at TonyTalksPC on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure to listen through the whole episode. You know,
I'm gonna
come back.
Twitter soon, Loki.
Don't you have a Twitter already?
I do, but it's not popping. I didn't make a new one. Okay. I had a Tumblr, but it's no fun anymore. Yeah, that's
Tumblr's
why I'm
fucking dead.
It's dead, bro. I don't go on that shit no more. It was fun at one point, but not anymore though.
Yeah, but anyways, make sure to stay in touch.
It's like
stay
Cinemax
tuned.
Now.
Skinemax. Anyways, make sure to follow through and keep in touch with us for another future installment of The Tale of Two Tonys, because we're going to keep this going. For right now, this has been the military industrial complex saga of The Tale of Two Tonys. Remind you to stay safe, stay beautiful, but most importantly, endulce
endulzando la leche. That's for your own good.
All right, bye. We'll be right back.